Thousands of dogs, hundreds of breeds, they converged at the Westminster Kennel Club dog show earlier this month. A pair of Economoc handlers, they showed their dogs. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Are you into dog shows? What do you want to know about Westminster, our country's most renowned dog show? 800-642-1234. Otto Sturm and Christy Coomer, they own a dog training and behavioral needs business. They compete at dog shows, including the prestigious Westminster. Otto shows his American Staffordshire Terrier, Mina. Otto, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having us.
And Christy is here as well, shows her rat terrier named Gadget. Christy, welcome to you.
Hi, good morning, and thanks a lot for having us.
Yeah, good morning. So, Christy, this was your first time for you and Gadget at Westminster. Can you put that feeling into words?
Yeah, you know, I have been wanting to show a dog at Westminster for the last 15 years. I've gone many times as a spectator, and I finally had a dog that was able to be competitive enough and then also able to go. It's a pretty rigorous process to be able to go to the show, so Gadget really proved himself over the last couple of years and was able to go and compete against the best dogs in the world.
Oh, wow. How do you qualify for Westminster? What is that process like?
So qualifying for the Westminster Dog Show requires that your dog is a champion with the American Kennel Club. So what that means is you have to go out to dog shows, you have to compete against a certain number of dogs, and you have to gain points. And the points all kind of add up. And then the top dogs with the top points get invited to come to Westminster.
Otto, what was it like for you making it to the big show?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I never thought I would be showing a dog at Westminster. You know, all dog enthusiasts, I think the Westminster Dog Show is something we gather around the TV every year and watch and, you know, eat popcorn and have drinks and think, oh, man, that's pretty amazing to be at that level, but to actually go and experience it with your own dog is a whole nother level of craziness. Just being able to go and be among the best of the best in the country, and even they bring dogs from all over the world for this, is just an absolute honor. It was amazing.
And, it wasn't held at Madison Square Garden like it has been for over a century, you know, with COVID precautions and all. What was the setting, Christy?
So the competition took place at the Lindenhurst Estate, which was a private facility. And it was absolutely beautiful. They had the castle there. It was right by the water. There was plenty of spots for the dogs to go potty on the grass. I actually really, really, really loved the location. We've been to Madison Square Garden before, and it's a little cramped, and sometimes the dogs have a hard time picking a place to go potty because there's no grass. So the Lindenhurst Estate was a really cool kind of once-in-a-lifetime opportunity venue, and we got to go there, and it was super cool. I wish they would hold it there every year.
Otto, what did you think of the venue, the mansion?
Oh, yeah, it was just far better for the dogs because not a lot of dogs are acclimated to the inner workings of New York City, you know. And like Christy had mentioned, being inside that environment, you know, where you're at Madison Square Garden and there's literally not one blade of grass to be seen, makes it a little trickier for the dogs. Then you have to be around the smog and the cars and the people smoking cigarettes on the street, and it's quite an imposing environment. The castle setting was so much more expansive and relaxed, and you know, you got some fresh air and the scenic views of the Hudson River, and I think the mansion was a far better setting for this type of event. But you know, the people at the Westminster Kennel Club say Westminster is the garden, so they've already scheduled back next year, I believe.
You know, I am so fascinated by the breeds that I've never seen before. And there is this one that I saw in the pictures, and I think you pronounce it Beaver Terrier. It's spelled B-I-E-W-E-R and has this like long straight hair and a ponytail, like a ponytail for a tail. And
yep.
I went, yeah. I mean, Otto, did you come across dogs like that that you've never seen before or I haven't seen before?
Well, we're pretty crazy when it comes to our love for not only our breeds, but all dogs. So we research and follow and educate ourselves on all the breeds. This year was actually the first year for the Beaver Terrier. And before they gained full AKC recognition, they were in a bracket called the FSS. And we actually showed some of our FSS dogs, which means Foundation Stock Services. And this is a process that some of these rare breeds have to go through before they get full AKC accreditation.
Ah, I see. You know, and also, Christy, the dogs with a corded coat that kind of like resemble dreadlocks, they're like mops.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, they're so fascinating. Can you kind of?
Yeah. So the cords are actually man-made, and they're quite a bit of upkeep. You know, they require a lot of bathing and attention and oils and lotions, and they get dirty really easily. And a lot of times I think people see these coats, or they see these dogs out in public and they're like, oh my gosh, they're matted. They need to be groomed. But you know, these particular breeds with these particular coats are very high maintenance, and these people take incredibly good care of those cords.
Wow. We're talking with Christy Coomer and Otto Sturm. They're dog trainers and handlers in Oconomowoc. They compete professionally all over the world, most recently at the prestigious Westminster Dog Show. You can join in with your questions about dog shows, if you show dogs, what grooming is like, and what you want to know about Westminster. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. So let's talk about your dog. Christy, tell us about Gadget. How would you best describe her personality, her appearance?
So Gadget's a boy, and I got Gadget actually just as a farm dog. When I purchased him, it wasn't even necessarily to show him. But we show other dogs, and I thought, well, he's small enough. He can come on the road, and we can show him too. And, you know, lo and behold, he ended up being this big superstar. He's a very cool dog. He's very true to his breed. He's a very good hunting dog. He has a very good social personality. He loves every dog he meets. He loves every person he meets. He thinks everybody's his best friend. He's a really, really, really special kind of once-in-a-lifetime dog.
Wow. It's like a whole new world for Gadget. I mean, in terms of what you had predicted.
Yeah, I had no idea when I bought him that he was going to be a superstar show dog. I just bought him to be a farm dog and to kind of help take care of some of the vermin on our 46 acres that we live on.
Little did you know, how often do you show Gadget?
So Gadget, when I was showing him really heavily, he was probably out at least 1 or 2 weekends every single month for about 2 years.
Okay. Otto, tell us about Mina and, you know, and just a little bit about Mina's background.
Yeah, so she's a really special girl. I was looking for a female kind of to add to our program, and Christy had acquired her half-brother actually through some interesting circumstances. Some people had imported him, and he was kind of entirely too much dog for them, for their particular lifestyle. So through the grapevine, they contacted us and said, hey, we think this dog needs to live in a working home. And I was like, well, if you want to drive him to Oconomowoc from Minneapolis, we'll take a gander at him and see how it goes. And from the moment his feet hit the grass at our farm, Christy fell in love and ran over and grabbed the leash. And JJ's proved himself to be quite the special working dog. He championed out in just 3 shows, which is quite a feat. And he's an amazing working dog. Christy will actually be competing with him on the upcoming season of America's Top Dog. But so when they first started developing their relationship, we developed a relationship with the breeder of the dog, because he was way down in Mexico City, and he appreciated that we saved the dog and put him to good use and gave him a loving home. So I asked Dr. Vivas if he had a female comparable that was maybe either already championed or definitely had the ability to be championed. And he said, say no more. I got you covered. And he sent me some pictures, and we pretty much fell in love with her right away. So we were on our way to the American Staffordshire Terrier National Specialty that year. And we were making the long trip out to California, and Dr. Vivas flew up from Mexico City and brought Mina with him. And the very next day, I showed her for the first time, and she won best of winners at the American Staffordshire Terrier National Special the first time I showed her, the first time she was ever shown in America.
Wow.
So we just knew she was special right from the get-go. And then not only is she an amazing show dog, but her temperament is absolutely stunning and flawless, and she has incredible working ability. I'll also be competing with her on the upcoming season of America's Top Dog.
So when you got your invitation to Westminster, what did you do? I mean, how did you change it all or start preparing Mina for Westminster?
Oh, man. We already have a pretty rigorous training, conditioning, you know, health and beauty program as it is. But then once we got the tickets to the big show, we had to definitely step it up a couple notches, you know, because there you're not just going to the fairgrounds across the county. Yeah. You're going, you know, to the garden. So, you know, everything had to be brought up a level, you know, around the clock, just meal prepping and exercise and training. You know, and really, I come from a working dog background, so my focus has always been more on the sports, and Christy's from the showing background. So she kicked her coaching into overdrive with me and really pushed it to the limit so that I could go out there and compete against the people who actually know what they're doing.
Christy, when you got the invitation, how did you change it all with Gadget, or how did you prep?
Well, when I got the letter in the mail, I think I stared at it for like a minute straight. and, you know, nothing with Gadget's routine changed too much other than just more conditioning and more training. The dogs are worked really regularly. And, you know, he did the same thing. He had no idea he was going there. He was still outside hunting every morning and doing Gadget things and running around with his buddies. But yeah, we definitely took a little bit of extra care with the coat, with grooming. And then also the dogs have an exercise routine, and he got extra exercise before the show too, to make sure he was nice and muscly and handsome looking.
Ooh, Christy Coomer with us, Otto Sturm, their dog handlers and trainers. They own You and Your Dog, a dog training business in Oconomowoc. And they competed in the coveted Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show earlier this month. Have you ever wondered what it's like to compete at that level? Are you a dog groomer? What's it like to prepare to show a dog? Join in any aspect, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about Westminster Dog Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's hear some play-by-play for the judging of Wasabi, the Pekingese who took best in show.
His tapering hindquarters, massive front end, and mane earn him the name Lion Dog. This is Pekingese, number 7.
So she spent a considerable amount of time examining the head, that envelope-shaped head, the details that go along with it. Pekingese. Her hands in there under the coat.
They have won best in show 4 times.
And now she'll, of course, look for that proper Pekingese gait.
Yeah, I think I commented on last night that I've been told that it looks like a goldfish moving through the water.
Judging, agility, grooming, join in on Westminster, 800-642-1234. Christy Coomer and Otto Sturm, they're dog handlers and trainers, and they competed with their dogs at Westminster earlier this month. Otto, you know, for novices like us, how does the judging work?
Oh, man. So every breed has a written standard, and the standard is the idea of perfection for that breed. So the people who originally started to fancy the breed and to create the club around that breed, and they got together and they said, hey, we love this breed so much. Let's make sure that it stays the same for future generations, or at least continues to improve on the same path that we want. So they wrote down exactly what the head should look like, what the eyes and teeth should look like, how the shoulders should lay back, how the coat should be, how the gait should appear, or how the dog should move, in other words. And when the judges in the ring judging these dogs, they're not looking at, oh, is the Pekingese better than the wire hair fox terrier or the hound dog? What they're looking at is the Pekingese closer to its own idea of perfection than the wire hair fox terrier is closer to its own idea of perfection, or than the hound dog is closer to its own idea of perfection? So the dogs are really supposed to be competing against themselves, not so much the other dogs in the ring
that
level.
Yeah. I mean, but Christy, how do judges deal with their own biases? I mean, we're flawed human beings. We have biases. How does that work?
Oh, I mean, absolutely. And most judges that judge dogs have grown up in dog show families, and they have their own breeds that they really like, and they've shown and they've put a lot of work into. And I think sometimes when you go into the ring, and like if the judges raise German Shepherds, they might really, you know, favor the German Shepherd, or they might be extra hard on the German Shepherd because they, you know, have such a high standard for what it should look like. But there's definitely biases. I mean, you can't help but love some breeds, and some dogs go out in the ring too, and they just really shine, and they kind of are like, hey, look at me, I'm the hottest thing out here, you better pick me. And you just kind of can't help but draw your eye to these dogs who have incredible personalities.
We're talking with Christy Coomer and Otto Sturm. They're dog trainers and handlers. They compete professionally, most recently at the Westminster Dog Show. You can join in. Do you and your dog compete in dog shows? What's your dog's name? Have you ever won a competition? Share your story with us, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org and share what you want to know about Westminster. So I'm wondering, you know, that with the two of you, how competitive, I mean, you're business partners, and I understand also in a relationship, how do you deal with the competition between each other?
Well, I let her win most of the time.
Oh, okay.
Is that how it's going to go?
I would say we're actually like fairly like friendly competition. We both want each other to do well. When one of our dogs does well, it really just kind of uplifts the breed a little bit. And we definitely are competitive. I think that's what makes us really good, is that we do push each other and we do want to win. But at the end of the day, like, it feels really good when he wins. And I know he probably feels the same way too when we win. And it's like it's just a win for the breed and a win for the fancy.
Do you find that you each have your strengths, Otto?
Oh, yes, for sure. Christy has many more years experience than me with the show dogs, especially the AKC show dogs. That's 100% her forte. I always tell people, you know, she orchestrates the whole dog show circuit. I just put on a fancy suit, run the dog in a circle, and hope I don't look dumb.
I think there's more to it than that. But you know, Chris.
There is.
Yeah. Christy, what type of grooming preparations are done ahead of a dog show?
So, you know, obviously depending on the breed, every dog has its own kind of grooming requirements, and every coat needs to be taken care of in a kind of its own special way. Otto and I are super lucky that we have dogs that have what we call slick or smooth coated hair. So they require bathing, and then they have a special lotion that they wear before they show, which kind of makes their hair smooth and soft. And they're pretty like what we call wash and wear. So they're a pretty easy breed to keep up on grooming, unlike the standard poodle or the Commodore or the Tibetan Spaniel, which is like hours and hours and hours of prep.
Yeah, what do those types of dogs go through? Can you kind of walk us through?
Sure. So like in the morning, so the dogs that require more grooming typically show later in the day, and this allows the handlers and the owners more time for grooming. So they wake up in the morning, they're usually up before us, they're bathing the dogs, they're blow drying them with a hand blow dryer, they're, you know, doing last minute kind of, you know, clippings and trimming, and it's so much work.
Yeah.
And every single time I see these dogs, I'm so grateful that we have dogs with short hair.
Oh, well, let's bring in Lisa now from Menominee Falls. Lisa, hi. What is your question about Westminster?
Yes, good morning, and thank you for taking my call. So, interestingly enough, I'm headed right now to Madison, Wisconsin for a dog agility trial. So I'm very interested in Westminster. Of course, I'm a little bit more interested in the portion related to agility. So I'm curious about if they know much about, if your guests know much about agility and how that particular portion of the trial works. What about the cameras, the setup, the things that we don't see on television?
Lisa, thanks. Otto, you go first.
Yeah, good question. So I haven't actually got to go to the Masters agility run at Westminster before, but I have seen it on TV a number of times. And for the most part, I think just like the confirmation part, they sort of hide the cameras into kind of the environment, you know, with those big yellow silo looking things. And I don't really know if I've witnessed too many handheld like cameras on crew running around. But I will tell you this from experience from competing in America's Top Dog, which does include some heavy agility portions, that when you do go to a TV show type setting and there's lights and there's crew and there's a guy with a big camera hanging from his chest that has to have another guy hanging onto his belt loop to make sure that he doesn't run over stuff, or there's a camera on a cart, that there's no real adequate way to prepare your dog ahead of time for that. You just have to hope they have a bomb-proof temperament.
Wow. Christy, what are your thoughts on agility?
Agility is, obviously, it's a super fun event, and it's something that I used to compete in when I was younger. I don't currently have any dogs that are really competitive in agility, so I don't currently do it, but we do it for fun. We do it with our own personal dogs, too, just to teach body awareness, and it's a good exercise for them, too. I wish her the best of luck in her competition. Agility is a really, really great thing for people to get involved in. Mixed breeds can do it. Purebred dogs can do it. Rescue dogs can do it. And we always are encouraging people to get out there and do stuff with their dogs.
Well, very quickly, what is the next goal for you two? You know, you've done Westminster. What do you have your sights set on next?
So after we finished Westminster, preparation went full speed into JJ and Mina for the upcoming season of America's Top Dog. The season starts on June 29th, and we'll compete sometime in July.
Gotcha. Well, best of luck. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Christy Coomer and Otto Sturm, their dog handlers and trainers. They own You and Your Dog, a dog training services and behavioral needs facility in Oconomowoc, and they recently competed at the Westminster Dog Show. Ahead this hour, Wisconsin immigrant rights organizers are marching to the state capitol from Milwaukee. We hear from advocates who demand reform and a pathway to citizenship. With your thoughts on what comprehensive immigration reform means, 800-642-1234. News update is next on the Ideas Network.